सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानं ततो न विजुगुप्सते. Is the wise person? What is wisdom? What is the benefit of being wise? What is the benefit of knowledge of the self? That is made clear in these two verses. 6 and 7. Yesterday we have already seen the meaning of the mantra. It is the knowledge of the reality of the whole, obtained as one soul's self, indicated, implied by the term Atma, which makes the person wise. Atma Jnanam makes a person wise. Atma Jnanam is wisdom. Any other jnanam also make a person wise, relatively wise. But what is that absolute wisdom? It is the self-knowledge, the absolute wisdom. If a person has knowledge of the truth and he knows the truth, his knowledge of the truth is not knowledge of an object, knowledge of the very subject, knowledge of the very swarupam of I. For a wise person, truth is the very content of I. The self, one's own self. Also, knowledge of the truth is there and he can't help seeing the whole in the self, seeing the whole as the self. Seeing everything in one's own self means seeing everything as the self. Versus seeing everything in the self, that in means a located case. And the Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, makes it clear, seeing in one's own self is actually seeing everything as the self. Seeing everything as the self means seeing everything being non-different from the self. So he says, yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyeva anupashyati. Thereby, one who sees the self in everything, self alone in everything, then that person becomes free from vijugupsa. Then he doesn't have any hatred towards anything. But not having hatred towards anything, yesterday we saw elaborate, I don't want to go back to the same thing. We have to be Bhashyam, let us start now. Yaf Parivrad Mukshu. So we saw the meaning of the yaha, relative pronoun, is given the meaning parivrat mukshu, a sannyasi who is a mukshu, who has desire for moksha. Sarvani bhutani is the word in the mantra. And Shankara Bhagavatpada says, avyaktadini stavarantani. He includes, when he says avyaktam, it stands for the unmanifest, undifferentiated, unmanifest power of reality is known by the term avyaktam. When the power of reality is unmanifest, the everything remains undifferentiated. Therefore, it is also known as avyakritam. And it is this power of reality which is the prakritihi, material cause of the whole universe. and an unmanifest universe in the form of obtaining, in the form of ignorance, or it's called Mula Vidya. You understand Mula Vidya. You have differentiated the Mula Vidya and ignorance. Like a bucket again, complete. So, Avyaktam and Manifest Universe. Stavaram stands for the Manifest Universe. Immobile being means what? The entire objective universe consisting of mobile, immobile, living, non-living things, elements, elementals, everything. Atmanyeva anupashyati, which means Atma vyatiriktani na pashyati. He does not see anything in the world being different from the self. It's exactly like you see the water, you cannot see the wave being different from the water. Very important two words, as I mentioned, Vilakshanam and Vyatirikta. Vilakshanam means distinct, Vyatirikta means different. Wise person does not see anything Vyatiriktam, anything being different from the self. Vyatiriktam na pashyati. We saw this much yesterday, today's class. Atma vyatiriktani na pashyati ityartha. Okay, next.
Sarva bhuteshu cha
teshveva cha
atmanam
tesham abhibhutanam swam atmanam atmatvena
yatha asya dehasya
karyakarana sanghatasya
atma aham.
So not only he sees everything being different from the self, he sees, which means he sees the self in all the beings. Sarva bhuteshu cha teshu eva, in all the beings, atmanam. Tesham api bhutanam swam atmanam. He sees his own self, he sees himself as the self of all the beings. He sees himself, his own self, as the self of all the beings. Swam atmanam atmatrena. One's own self, how he sees one's own self being distinct from this body. Yatha asya dehasya karyakarana sanghatasya atma aham. He sees himself, his own self, being distinct from his own body, mind, sense complex. So distinct from this body, and same self he sees as the self of all the beings. Seeing the oneness of the self, seeing one's own self in the self of all the beings, implies Jiveshwara Swarupa Aikyajnana. And when he sees the self being distinct from the body mind complex, this Karyakarana Sanghataha. Karyakarana Sanghataha means body, mind, sense, complex. Karyam in this context. In this expression, Karyakarana Sanghataha. Karyam means physical body. Karanam means stands for all subtle aspects. So, Karyakarana Sanghataha is a technical expression used in Vedanta, meaning gross physical body or subtle aspects, body, mind, sense, complex. So, asya dehasya karyakarana sandhatasya atma aham. I am the self distinct from all these, and I the self am. He sees the same self as the self of all other beings also. For him, the self, the truth of another individual is not different from the truth of one's own self. And what is the truth? The truth which he has arrived at as the Swarupam of the knower, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. So it is this pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, which is the self. Therefore, he goes one step further now. Aham. Sarva pratyaya.
Sarva pratyaya.
Sakshi bhutaha.
Sakshi bhutaha.
Chetaita.
Chetaita.
Kevalo.
Kevalo.
Nirgunaha.
Nirgunaha.
He brings beautiful words. Shankara Bhagavatapada brings in beautiful words. Every word revealing the nature of the self in terms of its given nature. Okay, every word reveals Atma in terms of its given nature. Actually, Shankara Bhagavatapada literally has taken words from a mantra from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yeho Devaha. I am just reading the mantra from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Yeho Devaha. Understand the meaning? Ekaha Devaha. Sarvabhuteshu Godhaha. He is hidden, he remains hidden as though covered in all the beings. Just as once all pervasive, indivisible, partless, whole, the space, as though an uptake appears, as though seems to be enclosed in many enclosures like part. This Atma, one indivisible, partless, whole Atma, the consciousness also, seems to be hidden, covered in all the bodies. Sarva bhuteshu godha, sarva vyami, all pervasive. Sarva bhuta antaratma, sarva bhuta antaratma. Innermost self of all the beings. What does it mean when every time I say innermost essence, innermost self? What innermost means? Anything which can be negated as an object of knowledge is non-self. Non-self is, okay, non-self. What cannot be negated as an object is the subject. Even the knower status can be negated. But the surupam, the truth of knower, is the truth of I, which is the innermost essence. You cannot go beyond that. You have to stop that. That's what innermost essence or innermost self. So, sarvabhuta antaratma, the innermost self or essence of all the beings. Sarvabhuta antaratma karmadhyaksha. Adhyaksha, karma adhyaksha. All actions happen under the governance of the Atma, by His mere presence. Atma is that in whose presence is governance, whose presence itself is governance, in whose presence all activities, everything happens. Sarva-bhuta-adhivasa, the one who is the very existence, substratum of all forms, names and functions, where all beings enjoy their existence. And last words, Sakshi. It is His Atma which is there as the only witness of all the witnessed states of mind. Sakshi, Cheta, and this Atma is of the nature of consciousness, Cheta. Kevalo, Kevala is what? Untainted by anything, untouched by anything, unrelated to anything. Water has no relationship, connection with any wave. Water being the truth of all the waves, waves being non-different from the water, water has no relationship, connection with anything. Relationship, connection means it must be different. There must be two things. Water and wave are not two different things. They are two different things. We can't even say water and wave. We can only say wave of water. We can't say wave and water. Because and, if you are using and, there must be two. Therefore, Kevalaha means no, it is not related, connected to anything, because everything is this, there is only one. Relationship, connection involves what? I mean, two factors. There is not two, there is only one. What is only the truth. Kevalaha Atma. No. Nirgunascha. Nirguna. And what attribute does this Atma have? Atma is of nature of attributelessness. Why attributelessness? It is formless. And formlessness is not an attribute. It is the swarupa. Knowing is not an attribute. It is the swarupa. Attribute means subject to change. Swarupam is not subject to change. Okay? Therefore, Nirguna means it is of the nature of attributelessness. Now, this is the mantra from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. From here, Shankara Bhagavatpada has literally taken some words. We are seeing here. Kevala, Nirguna, etc. are from that mantra. Okay. Now, important lesson comes. Sarva pratyaya sakshi bhuta. Sarva pratyaya sakshi bhuta. Pratyaya means any thought. Cognition, in what form does knowledge rise? Now we have come to, we are analyzing the waking state of the mind. In waking state, first of all, there is knowledge of existence of your own self in terms of I am. Now you all know you are. That knowledge which was not there when you were fast asleep, before you woke up from sleep, when you were fast asleep, that knowledge was not there. What knowledge? Knowledge of existence of yourself. In terms of I am, it was there. That knowledge has come back, therefore it is waking state. That knowledge obtains in what form? In thought form. And the thought in Sanskritam is called vrittihi. This jnanam which comes and goes is called vritti jnanam. What is vrittihi? A thought is called a vrittihi. Knowledge which comes and goes obtains in the form of a thought. Vritti rupena. Okay? And what is this jnanam? Vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam, we say, manifest knowledge or manifestation of the reality or manifestation of consciousness or manifestation of knowledge. Okay, vritti jnanam is manifest knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought. Then the world is, the knowledge of the existence of the world also is vritti jnanam. Knowledge of existence of the self or anything is in the form of a thought, which is vritti jnanam. See, not only knowledge, cognitions, perceptions, other thoughts, clarity, if we talk about clarity or confusion, enthusiasm, where are they? They are all in the form of thoughts. Emotions, anxiety or doubt. Suppose I have a doubt. You all raise your hands, ask for my, want to express your doubt. How do you know this doubt? Before you came and sat in the class, that particular doubt wasn't there. Doubt comes. Which comes and after clarification sometimes goes, sometimes still continues to be there. Anyway, doubt comes and goes. When you fall asleep, doubt also disappears. When do they all your doubts, all your confusions, all your knowledge of existence, everything disappears in sleep. Where are they? All the vrittis, the thoughts resolve. The thoughts resolve, we call it deep sleep state. The thoughts rise, waking state. And each thought, whether it is knowledge or doubt or even ignorance, when you say, I do not know Tamil, I do not know, if I say I do not know French, and you may say I do not know Tamil or I do not know dancing, classical dance, Indian classical dance. I do not know Western music. If you say, I do not know, that ignorance, that is ignorance. Ignorance also is in the form of a thought. You have to differentiate here. This ignorance of any given thing obtaining in the form of a thought, which is known in waking state, is vritti, thought. But when you fall asleep in deep sleep state, when there is total ignorance, that is different. Total ignorance is mula vidya. I differentiate this ignorance and that ignorance. Mula Vidya means what? Ignorance of the very existence of the self. Ignorance of the existence of the world. Ignorance of everything. That is called Mula Avidya. Mula Vidya. Okay? But here, I do not know Tamil. Your ignorance of Tamil or ignorance of classical dance, Indian dance, ignorance of any special food available in Bahamas, that ignorance is what? In deep sleep state, that ignorance also is not there. So ignorance also, which are aware of the ignorance waking state, is what? This is vritti. So Mula Vidya is different from this ignorance which experience in waking state. Tasu vritti. What about the emotions? Anxiety, fear. In what form does jealousy obtain? Envy, hatred, compassion, kindness, anger. In what form does it obtain? In what form does anger obtain? Anger obtains in the form of a thought. Desire, likes and dislikes, all are in the form of thoughts only. Varieties of thoughts. In fact, in Kena, I will cover more about this thoughts. We'll talk about it. So here, is all these varieties of thoughts which are possible in when there is knowledge of the existence of the self in waking state. All these are also objects of knowledge obtained in the realm of thoughts, and these are said to be pratyayaha. Okay, I want to also explain the word pratyayaha. Sarva pratyaya. And every emotion or cognition, knowledge, experience, perception, obtaining in the realm of a thought is what? Everything is distinct from every other thought. Every other thought is different from every other thought. Isn't it? Every thought is different from every other thought. Suppose if you say, I know English. If you say, if there's not, I know English, or I know French, I know Sanskritam. I know is what? Knowledge. Knowledge is another thought. And immediately you say what? I do not know Tamil. That's also what? Thought only. So knowledge also is in the form of a thought. Ignorance of any given thing is also in the form of a thought. All these thoughts are pratyayaha. And these various pratyayas are all sakshyaha, witnessed. Who is the witness there? Thoughts are known, pratyayas are known. The known thoughts are sakshya, witnessed, and the knower is the witness, sakshi. Sakshi, sakshya. Knower, known. The knower is the witness. The knower, atma, is distinct from the known thoughts, but there is no distance between the knower consciousness and the known thoughts. And thoughts are known means thoughts are also by themselves of the nature of inertness, and because of the manifestation, because of the closeness, they are conscious thoughts. pratyaya, all these pratyaya. And then they keep on changing also. The whole day, how many things, how many perceptions take place? How many things do you experience? So many thoughts come. Thoughts keep on flowing. But only pratyas keep on flowing, and therefore they vary. Thoughts are variables. In every variable thought, what is invariably present is Sakshi. Like in every variable opaque object, what is invariably present is the light. Isn't it? Objects are varied, objects vary, all opaque things vary, but the illumining light, illumined opaque things vary, but invariably present is the light. So Sakshi means what? In fact, it can be compared to the Keno Upanishad statement, Pratibodha Viditam Matam. Every knowledge which rises in the form of a thought, what is invariably present is the pure knowledge. Isn't it? Sarva pratyaya sakshi bhuta. It means every cognition, in every perception, there is reality atma in the form of perceiver, knower, sakshi, witness. Unchanging, changeless, invariably present atma in all the variable thoughts. Very subtle. You have to differentiate the sakshi, invariably present sakshi in all the variable thoughts, pratyaya. Sarva pratyaya sakshi bhuta, then chetayita. See, cheta, one who really atma, the formless, all pervasive, abstract, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is implied by the term Atma, which is the self of every individual. And that Atma, not only it is, because of its nature, because of its Swarupam, it also makes inert mind, conscious mind. It lends consciousness and existence to the mind, thoughts. Chetayita. Chetayita means one who lends existence and consciousness. That which makes inert mind a conscious mind. Chetayita. Okay? How does inert mind by itself is inert mind? How does it become conscious mind? Because of the presence, blessing of consciousness. Atma is consciousness, we say. It makes the mind conscious. Therefore, Atma has the title what? Chetayita. Chetayita. When the thought comes, then there is manifestation of consciousness. Then thought is conscious thought. Thought rises, consciousness is manifest. I'll explain to you here. This is very important. See how here light is. Here light is. Imagine all these things are not here. Please listen to me carefully. All these things, no object is here. कि कंप्लीटली एम्प्टी स्पेस, एम्प्टी स्पेस दैट इज लाइट अलोन, ऑल द लाइट्स आर टर्न्ड ऑन, लाइट्स आर देयर, नो ऑब्जेक्ट इज हियर. All the chairs, everything is taken out, all the pictures are taken out, everything is out, nothing is an empty space. And we are also not here. And I ask somebody, who's there in the hall? Someone will come back and tell me, nobody is there. Not nobody is there, nothing is there. No chair, no mic, no camera, no curtains, nothing is there. Is it right answer or wrong answer? Wrong answer. There is still light is there. Light is there. But they do not count the light. Chairs are there, empty chairs are there, they can say, but chairs are also not there. Nobody is there, chairs are empty, they can say, but chairs are also not here, no seats are here, no cushions are, nothing is here. They come and tell me, nothing is here. What it means is, there is light. Why a person comes, why can't a person come back and tell me, there is light, light alone is there? Why can't he tell me? Because he doesn't count the light. Why he doesn't count the light? Because light does not draw his attention. Please listen to me, very important lesson. Light does not draw his attention. Why light does not draw his attention? Because light is one. Light is unmoving. Anything moves, anything colorful, light is one uniform, unmoving. Therefore, light doesn't draw the attention. Colorless, uniform, unmoving, attributeless, it doesn't draw my attention. Simply, the person is not able to say light alone is there because the light is not counted in his perception. Because light doesn't draw his attention. Because of his oneness, all uniform, okay? Because it's uniform, unmoving. But after some time, when all the chairs are brought here, the room is filled with the chairs, and people also come and sit here. Everything is brought, all the equipments are brought here. Then what happens? If we ask, what are all the things you see here? You can say, all these varieties of things are here. And how can you say all these varieties of things are here? Because light is. How do you know all these varieties of things are here? Because light is. Now what happened? In the presence of things, light becomes recognizable. Is it clear? How does it become recognizable? That because of which all the opaque things shine, thereby light becomes recognizable. before the things were brought, I'll tell you something very important and subtle. Please listen carefully. Before all these opaque things were brought into this room, before we all entered in here, also light was. All the lamps were turned on. After the things were brought, also light, same light continues to be there. No change has happened on the part of the light. Before also light was, after the things were brought also light is. But what is the difference? The difference is, things were absent, opaque things were not here, light was non-recognizably there. The things were brought, light becomes recognizable. How? These things cannot shine if there is no light. The very fact that everything shines is because of the presence of light. Isn't it true? Light becomes recognizable. The recognizable light is said to be reflected light. There is no such a thing called reflected light. Okay? What is only light? Please understand. There is no reflected light. Just the light. But the same pure light gets the qualification reflected or reflection of the light. We say there's reflection of the light, reflected light. The reflected is a qualification attributed to the light in the presence of opaque things. Very important lesson. Is there something called reflected light? Now tell me. There is no reflected light. What is just the light. Reflected is a qualification attributed to the light in the presence of opaque things. Is it clear? The light, this every opaque thing has the capacity to reflect the light. That is how it shines. Similarly, consciousness is always there. When the thoughts are all resolved in deep sleep state, what do we say? Nothing is there. Why do we say nothing is there? We are not able, there is no. Isn't it? Like how just as light is non-recognizable, when the thoughts are not there, consciousness is also non-recognizable. Non-recognizable consciousness is mistaken for non-existent. In fact, consciousness is not non-existent, the only existence of everything. Consciousness is non-recognizable. And non-recognizable consciousness, in the absence of thoughts, the thoughts are resolved, consciousness is non-recognizable. But we are not able to say consciousness alone was. What was in sleep? What did we experience in sleep? Nothing was there. Why can't you say I was there? Who was in sleep? I alone was. Never say, nobody comes and says I alone was. Nobody says consciousness alone was. Everybody still say nothing was. Why? We because consciousness is non-recognizable. Non-recognizability is mistaken for non-existence. And say, then there is a time thought rises. First I thought rises, then all other thoughts rises, waking state. In waking state, like all the things are brought into this light, into this room, all our thoughts come. Pleasure comes, sometimes pain comes, sometimes some sadness comes, sometimes the sense of honor, the sense of dishonor. All pairs of opposites, all perceptions, all knowledge, everything, all varieties of thoughts rise. How varieties of opinions are here? Varieties of thoughts rise. And thoughts rise, and same consciousness, because of the presence of which, in the presence of which thoughts shine, that consciousness is given the name manifest consciousness. Some people also use the term reflected consciousness. I prefer the word manifest consciousness. Okay, there is no reflection of consciousness, there is no reflected consciousness, there is only pure, always consciousness only. In the presence of thoughts, consciousness is manifest consciousness. In the absence of thoughts, consciousness is pure consciousness. Consciousness, like light with opaque, is reflection of light or reflected light. Light without opaque is pure light. Similarly, consciousness with the thoughts is manifest consciousness, manifestation of consciousness. Consciousness without thoughts is pure consciousness. Why do you call it manifest? Because it is recognizable. How do you recognize that? What is that witness, knower of the thoughts? Just as illuminator of opaques is light, knower of thoughts, witness of the thoughts is Atma, the consciousness. Is it clear? It must be clear. I know the chi is there. Where do the thoughts come from? Understand thoughts are. That is enough timely. Thoughts come and go. That must be clear now. Now, what is that which lends conscious? What is that which lends light to this opaque? Opaque shines, means opaque enjoys light. What is it which lends light to the opaque for it to shine? Light. Light alone lends light to the opaque that it shines. Light lends existence to the opaque. Lending is not physical lending. Light alone lends existence to the opaque. Is it clear? Similarly, consciousness, the Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma, which is of the nature of consciousness, lens consciousness, sentiency, existence with thoughts. Therefore, Chetaita. Chetaita. Very important word. Kevala. Every word I'm taking. Do you see the beauty of every word? Kevalaha, unconnected, unrelated. It is distinct. Even though light and opaque are physically inseparable, light is unconnected. Okay? So your consciousness is unconnected, unrelated, because consciousness is always looked upon as the only reality. Only reality, because the entire so see, these are very important words to understand. Is it clear? Blending existence or consciousness is not an action. How light is the same light, so also consciousness is always there. In dream it is, in waking state it is, in deep sleep state consciousness is. What undergoes a change is what? Dream undergoes a change, deep sleep state comes. Deep sleep undergoes a change, dream comes, awakening comes. When all these discontinuously mutually exclusive states of experience, what is continuously present is Atma. But whatever state of mind is, like how opaque thing comes, that particular opaque thing becomes, you got no, shines in the light, presence of light. Like waking state of mind is, waking state of mind shines. Atma illumines the waking state of mind. Atma illumines the dream state of mind. Atma illumines the deep sleep state of mind. Even nothingness in deep sleep state is known because there is Atma illumines the nothingness. The Atma is distinct. Kevalaha. Atma has no relationship, not related to anything, because only reality. Then Nirgunaha. Nirgunaha. Because Atma is one, formless, it is of the nature of attributelessness. Anenaiva swarupena avyaktadinam stavarantanam aham eva atma iti sarvabhuteshu cha atmanam nirvisesham yastu anupashyati saha tataha tasmadeva darshanad na vijugupsate. So anenaiva swarupena, Atma which is of this nature, Atma which is of this nature, with this nature alone, with this swarupam alone, aneneva swarupena atma avyaktadinam stavarantanam ahameva atma. The only truth, the only reality, the only self of everything. Unmanifest power of reality, and the manifest power of reality in the form of universe is one and the only Atma. Reality implied by the term Atma. And for wise person, it is that reality which is I, which is the truth of I. Now let me tell you one more thing. When I say avyaktam, avyaktam means unmanifest. Unmanifest means here indicates the power of reality. The power of reality is given the name unmanifest. When is this name avyaktam, unmanifest is the name given to the power of reality? When the world, when the thoughts are not there, when all thoughts are resolved and the mind is non-functional, why do the thoughts rise and thoughts resolve? That is the nature of the mind. Can you ever ask why does this wave, ocean have waves? Ocean means waves will come, waves will be there, waves come, waves will go. That is how the ocean can be. Similarly, mind also is that where thoughts rise, thoughts exist, thoughts resolve. Thoughts rise, thoughts exist, thoughts resolve. You can understand the mind only in terms of thoughts. When thoughts rise and the consciousness becomes manifest. The thoughts are not there, consciousness becomes resolved. The thoughts become resolved, consciousness also is not recognizable, pure. Which means in the presence of thoughts we understand the power of consciousness, the power of reality, the swarupam of reality we understand. That their consciousness illumines the thoughts. Atma illumines the thoughts. When thoughts are not there, same consciousness is, but we are not able to recognize the power. Isn't it? So if we have recognized the power of reality, thoughts must be there. What happens? The power is unmanifest. Suppose fire is there as a small flame in that lamp. Do you know how powerful is that fire? Very powerful. Now such a small lamp, small flame. You know how powerful is the fire? Very powerful. But now you do not know how powerful it is. The fire, suppose fire catches, you will know how powerful it is. It can burn anything. It is powerful, but when it is a small flame, we don't know the power, how powerful it is. The power of fire is unmanifest. When you see the fire as a small flame here, isn't it? The same power of fire is manifest when you see in jungles, it burns everything. Power is, fire is always powerful, always it has the power of burning. Fire has always the power of burning. fire is powerful. What is the power the fire have? Power of burning. Fire has power of burning. But here, when you see the flame, you do not understand the power of burning. It is unmanifest. The power of burning is there on the part of the fire, but you do not understand, you do not recognize how powerful. The power is not manifest, not recognizable now. When do you recognize the power of burning? When you see the same fire burning the woods in the jungle, huge fire you see, forest fire, my God, how powerful is the fire. Hey, this fire has same power. Power of burning is inseparably with the fire. But in forest fire, power of burning or the fire is manifest. In a flame, power of burning is unmanifest. Power is always, when is fire not powerful? When does the fire not have the burning power? Burning is a swarupam. Okay? Swarupam is shakti. Swarupam eva shakti. Nature is power. Being able to burn, being able to burn is the power. There's never a time fire is not powerful. Fire is always powerful. Fire is always powerful. But there's a time you see the power being, power is recognizable. There's a time power is not recognizable. Fire is not powerless, but power is recognizable. Sometimes power is non-recognizable. When it is recognizable, we call it a manifest. This non-recognizable, we call it unmanifest. Power is always there. So here also, and it understands. So illumining is the power of the light. I'll give next example. Illumining is the power of the light. Illumining is the power of the light. Power, light is endowed with the power of illumining, isn't it? Light, when is light not with the power of illumining? Light is always endowed with the power of illumining. But when the opaque things are here, the power of illumining is manifest. The opaque things are not here, the power of illumining is there, not manifest, not recognizable. In the presence of opaque things, the power of illumining is recognizable, manifest. Oh, light has the capacity to illumine. When do you understand? The presence of opaque things. And opaque things are not here, light alone he is here. Even though light is endowed with the power of illumining, no object is here which is dependent on light to be illumined. So the power of illumining is inseparable from the light, is not manifest, not recognizable when the opaque things are not here. No big things are here, but the big things shine from the standpoint of the big things, the power of illumining, being inseparable from the light, is it? Recognizable. We call it manifest. I'm sure you understand the meaning of the word manifest. Recognizable, being recognizable is being manifest. Not being recognizable is being unmanifest. Okay? Now, when the thoughts are resolved, what happens? Power is said to be unmanifest. Power of knowing. What is the power of reality? Like illumining is the power of the light. The power of reality is knowing. Knowing power. This Swarupameva Shakti. Swarupameva Shakti. Is it clear now? Swarupameva Shakti. But this reality is blessed, endowed with the power of knowing. Because reality is of the nature of knowing. When do we know? When the thoughts rise, power of knowing is manifest. The thoughts resolve, power of knowing is unmanifest. Okay? The thoughts rise, power of knowing is manifest. The thoughts resolve, power of knowing is unmanifest. Is it clear? Therefore, when the thoughts are not there, we say power is unmanifest. When thoughts come, power is manifest. Oh, reality has the power of knowing. How? Thoughts are known. The standpoint of the known thoughts, the power of reality being knowing is clear. That's why consciousness, the Atma, reality obtaining in the form of consciousness, implied by the term Atma, is not dependent on thoughts, mind, false existence, but Atma is dependent on mind for its manifestation. Okay? The light is not dependent on opaque things for its existence. Opaque things are dependent on lights for its existence. But light, is dependent on opaque things for its reflection. Isn't it? This is called, now I tell you, once the mind thoughts rise, and through the thoughts, sense powers also become functional, then the whole world shines. Therefore, the whole world is dependent on sense powers to be illumined. The sense powers, whole world means what? Everything else. Time, space, and everything, anything which exists within the realm of time and space, the entire world shines. And the sense powers become functional. And sense powers are functional means, and the mind is functional. Is it clear? Therefore, the whole world is dependent on mind to come to light. The mind itself is dependent on Atma to come to light. Now we say, when the thoughts are resolved, we say power is unmanifest. which is known by the term avyaktam. Avyakta means unmanifest, non-recognizable shakti, non-recognizable power of reality. Can you separate the burning power and the fire? Can you separate the illumining power and the light? No. Power is inseparable. Okay? Similarly, the power of knowing is inseparable from the reality. Therefore, that is called Atma Shaktihi, Brahma Shaktihi is avyaktam, unmanifest. When unmanifest, it is also undifferentiated. And once manifest, thoughts come, the whole world. Now tell me, this wise person sees the truth of I as consciousness, Atma. And now tell me, the unmanifest power also is not outside of, independent of the reality. Manifest power also is not separable from Atma. Is it clear? So the whole world can be looked upon as what? Manifestation of power of reality. What is the power? Knowing power. The whole world is manifestation of knowledge. The Swarupam itself is given a different name, Shakti. There is no other power, okay? Knowing is the power. The whole world, when you see the forest, the jungle, you understand, my God, when the jungle is getting burnt, how powerful the fire is. Similarly, the whole jagat shines, time shines, space shines, all the forms, names and functions shine, experiences are there, the whole world is there. How powerful is the reality? That's why we say almighty, omnipotent. Is it clear? So, the manifest universe, the whole universe is nothing but manifestation of power of reality. Unmanifest power also is what? Power of reality. Whether the power is manifest or unmanifest, it is inseparable from the reality. Is it clear? Whether the power is manifest or unmanifest, it is inseparable from the reality. Now it's clear. Now, the real wise person sees the self as self of everything, avyakta adinam. Sorry, I have to take so long time to make you understand. Avyakta adinam. Okay, the avyaktasyapi atma is what? The self of avyaktam, the truth of avyaktam, the truth of the power is truth of avyaktam. Does the power, can the power exist independently? Can the burning power exist independently without the fire? Can the illumining power exist independently without the light? No, inseparable. Power is reality. Reality is not the power, but the power is reality. I'm sure you're all with me. Power is reality. So what is the Atma? The self of the power. What is path? What is the self of the power? Self of the power means truth of the power. What is the existence of the power? Where does power exist? Not outside of reality. Where does the illumining power exist? Not outside of the light. Where does the burning power exist? Not outside of the fire. Similarly, where does the knowing power exist? Not outside of the reality, which is Atma. Again, the unmanifest power or the manifest power, the whole world is looked upon as manifestation of reality. So, whether unmanifest or the manifest, the truth of the power, existence of the power, the self of the power is Atma. And the wise person says, I am the Atma, I am the powerful. Sarva Shaktiman Atma Aham. Sarva Shaktimat Brahma Aham. I, the Self, am the reality, the powerful reality, Brahma. Sarva Shaktimat Brahma Ahamasmi. I'm sure made it very clear, have I? Little distraction for me is okay. I can just see how Atma is the only truth of everything. You must be able to see that now. If it is not clear, I'll make it clear again. I'll take it time, because what's the point in rushing? Anyway, one more verse is there, same verse. I have a catch up there.
Anenaiva
swarupena
avyaktadinam
sthavarantanam ahameva atma iti sarvabhuteshu cha atmanam yaha anupashyati
yaha
tu anupashyati. And how does he see the Atma? He says, nirvisesham. Atmanam nirvisesham yaha tu anupashyati. One who sees the Atma, one who sees one's own self being pure consciousness. Nirvisesham means what? One who sees the self, truth of I being pure consciousness, nirvisesham, which is distinct from all the upadis. What is the, who is the knower, if I ask? Knower is consciousness, implied by the term Atma. Knower is the reality which is of the nature of consciousness, the pure knowledge. If we ask you, who is the illuminator? You will say what? Illuminator is light, and the light is distinct from all the opaque things which shine here, even though light is not distant from everything. Isn't it? You see what? The illuminator is the light distinct from all the opaque things which shine in the light, but even though light is not distant from everything. And light is what? Pure light. Whether opaque things are here, opaque things are not here, light is always pure light. But only temporarily we give, add an adjective as reflected light from the standpoint of obey things. Now tell me, is there something called reflected light?
No.
Voltage is only light. Reflected, the adjective is added to the light only in the presence of the opaque things. What was light? What is light? What comes and goes in light are opaque things. Similarly, Atma, which is of the nature of consciousness, is always there. Thoughts come and go, so the world becomes manifest and unmanifest. World comes, there is manifestation of knowledge. World goes, pure consciousness. Is there something called manifest knowledge? There is only knowledge. Pure knowledge. The manifest is only a title given to the knowledge, reality, the standpoint of the world which comes and goes. Okay? So world is dependent on Atma for its very existence, including the mind. Whereas, okay, the mind is dependent on Atma for its very existence, whereas Atma is dependent on mind for its manifestation. For us to be recognized. Is it clear? It's called self-recognition, not realization. Saha,
Tataha,
thereafter. Having discovered the self, everything is the self. Poor water cannot distant any wave. Why? All the waves are water. It is the cognitive shift. You shift the essence from body, mind, sense complex to consciousness. And see yourself from the standpoint of Atma, the consciousness. You are, nothing is different from you. And you see everything being non-different from your real nature, what you are essentially, what you are really, then Vijugupsa will disappear. Okay, there is this God revealing in the vision of fullness. I, the Self, am the whole. I, the Atma, am the whole. I, the pure knowledge, am the whole. The whole universe is knowledge. All that is here is only knowledge. We'll come back. Okay? I have so much coming up. So much is coming up, I have to stop. We'll come back and catch up. Is it clear? Sorry, in between, we are still distracted in between. Even though I was repeating, it was slow, it became slow, but it's okay. I was told it was good, wasn't it? See, the avyakta, avyakta must be very clear. People, you know, people think somewhere, something sitting here on some power. Just, it's all a question of understanding. who is holding the mic.
You mentioned Avyaktam as the Shakti, as the Swarupa.
Power.
Which is your knowing, the power. And
knowing power. Swarupam is the Shakti. See, knowing, the power is knowing. Is the nature of reality, we say in the beginning, and that knowing is the power. It has the, reality has the power of knowing. Like light has the power of illuminating. Fire has the power of burning. Wind has the power of blowing. No? You cannot remove the power from the powerful. Is it clear? So reality also, being endowed with the power of knowing, because its very nature is knowing. Why does the fire burn? Burning is its nature, not an action. First you understand the nature, then look at the nature as the power. Fire is, you can come and tell, go and touch the fire. Fire has burned my finger. Hey, you can't, okay, fire has not burnt your finger. Why? It is not an action. It is Swarupam. Burning is not a will involved action. Let me go and burn her finger. No, it's not an action. It is a Swarupam. Okay? Similarly, the Swarupam, reality also is of the nature of knowing. And we look at it, reality is endowed with this power of knowing. And the power is inseparable from the powerful, intrinsic. Okay.
So when you speak about the power of reality, 2 days ago you mentioned Maya. And I was wondering whether you could explain about it more in relation with Maya.
Yeah, I tell you very simple thing. Maya is another word for this power. Avyaktam, Avyakriti, Maya are all different, Avidya are different names attributed to this power. Power of knowing, unmanifest is ignorance. Power of knowing, manifest is knowledge. Now I tell you, I can say there is no ignorance at all. There is no ignorance at all. That's on that level, okay? Let me come back next class. But now understand. If we show you everything today, then no class tomorrow onwards. See, Maya is another term used, okay, to mean this. Another name for unmanifest power. Power of knowing unmanifest alone is called ignorance. Power of knowledge unmanifest is given the name ignorance. Power of knowing unmanifest is known by the term Maya. And the power of, okay, when it's unmanifest, why power of reality is called unmanifest also? In the non-recognizable power of reality is avyakta shakti. The word avyakta itself means unmanifest. The power of reality is power of knowing. This power of knowing is non-recognizable. We give the name avyaktam. And when it is not recognizable, things also, when it's unmanifest, not recognizable means the things are, all the things remain in darkness of ignorance, covered in darkness of ignorance. But things are not differentiated also. In sleep, you can't differentiate which is a jam, which is a fan, etc. Isn't it? Therefore, the same power is also given another name, Avyakritihi. avyaktam. Another name is avyakritihi. Avyakritihi means undifferentiated power, unmanifest power. And this power, if you see, really is this power there, if you search, look for it, then you will finally disappear. You see, there is no such a thing called ignorance. There is no unmanifest power. There is only power. The power gets the name unmanifest and manifest. In the presence of thoughts, the power gets the name, gets the adjective manifest. And in the absence of thoughts, when thoughts are absent, power gets the adjective unmanifest. Really speaking, there is no such a thing called unmanifest power. There is only the power. Okay? Then what happens? There is no such thing called ignorance. Will resolve it later on. That is why that which is really not, that which is as though, is called Maya. Yama Samaya. This power alone, unmanifest power alone, is given the another name, Maya. Not different. Don't worry.
Swamiji, so can I ask, what is the difference between the power and that which the power belongs to?
In fact, power is the nature of reality. For example, the power of illumining, the illumining power belongs to light, you say. Really speaking, are they separable? This phone belongs to Swamini. Your possessor possessed connection is here. It is separable. I can leave my phone, I can walk out. It is separable. Understand? But power, when you say this phone belongs to me, it's a possessor possessed connection is there, separable. But really speaking, we cannot say power belongs to, the power of illumining belongs to light when I say. There is no possessor-possessed connection between the power of illumining and the light. No, there is no adhara-adhaya-sambandha is not there. Possessor-possessed connection is not there. Why? Power is not separable. Like my phone separable from me, power does not separate. But still, for want of expression, we say power of reality is inseparable, intrinsic nature. Is it clear? So who is the powerful here? Light is powerful. Why? It is endowed with the inseparable power of illumining. It's how you look at it, isn't it? Now Agni is powerful. It is endowed with the power of burning and reducing everything to ashes. Like reality is endowed with the power of knowing. See, Agni, light, there are gross examples. Reality is imperceptibly subtle, inexplicably subtle. In fact, the subtlest, sukshmatamam vastu. And how do you understand reality? We arrive at reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Surupenaiva vastu avagantavyam. Reality itself is stumbled upon only by in terms of its nature. Once you arrive at in terms of its nature, then you give a new name, knowledge, conscious, chit, chaitanyam, except for the names. Because what is to be understood is the ultimate truth, absolute reality. There's nothing, the reality. All these so-called gross forms and world, it looks real, it's not real. They're unreal, it's not real. What is absolutely real is this abstract reality. And this mind itself is gross, and this gross mind has to understand suppressed reality. That is why paunam punyena shravanam, repeated listening. Why? The teaching is, Upanishad says, the teaching here, subject matter is the subtlest, very subtle. That is why punaruktihi, repetition. The Swamiji helps you with some tablets to keep away. Thank you, Swamiji. But how Atma sitting behind, not knowing anything, watches everything. Swamiji listens here, he also watches who is dozing. Amazing. He doesn't turn his head and see, but he still knows. Sitting here, I never knew. I thought he was giving chakras to everybody, all of you. Then I handled the fact, oh, he's waking up everybody. Waking up. We have two more verses. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamo Dakshyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tatsat Sri Rupyo Namaha. Hari Om.